There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's time to kick off.
20, he will score!
Tip off.
Way downtown, bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
New open on a fine Sunday to kick off April. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo here. Cade Shumsen also joining me from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Sunday Huddle, of course, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Get involved in Battle of the Bets, where $250,000 in bonus bets are given out each day. And all you got to do is pick one side, over, under. They got a different game each day. You can check it out on the Discover page on the app. Hard Rock's easy because it's catered to both types of players. It's catered to the new player. It's catered to the experienced player. The new player, it's easy to get your feet wet, acclimate, learn the app, understand how lines and everything like that works. But for the experienced player who wants to put together a complicated parlay, you got yourself covered there. So it covers both ends of the spectrum, and it's so easy to get started now because you also get $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That first bet can be a parlay, prop, the over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. Win that first bet and get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Try it now. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Well, we are hoping for a dramatic finish to the NCAA tournament after, I guess, an uneventful first two weekends, for the most part, at least in the round of 64, up through the Elite Eight. Well, the Final Four with 4-1 seeds for the second time since 1985, first time since 2008, occurred last night. And I think we got what we were looking for, a little dramatic finish, and highlighted by Duke, the probable best team in the field. A collapse of epic proportions. Up 14 with 8 minutes to go. Up 9 with 2 minutes to go. Up 6 with 35 seconds to go. Blew the game to Houston. Houston rumbles back and wins in some emphatic fashion. And let's just say it like we see it. What one of the biggest epic collapses I've ever seen at a collegiate level on that stage. Duke completely shriveled up. Completely shriveled up. And this is my problem with Duke coming into the tournament. Playing in that ACC, they were almost too good for their own good. Every close game they had throughout the season, John Shire, the head coach of Duke basketball, whenever it got close, got to have it, possession, need to score here, down a point, down a couple points, end of game, more pressure than there usually is for Duke, who's usually winning by 9, 10, more than that. The strategy has always been, except for one game, the Kansas game in which they lost, the strategy has always been get the ball to Cooper Flagg, clear out, and Coop, go get us one. Go win the game. Go get us a basket. Go play. 18-year-old, go send us to the national championship. I don't care how good Cooper Flagg is. You got to draw up something a little bit more creative towards the end of the game. And Cooper Flagg got a decent shot off, and he missed it with a chance to take the lead down one. And you want to complain about the foul. You want to do anything you want to do. Duke here and there, miss Tyrese Proctor missing the free throw. Point being is that John Shire, the head coach, had no idea what to do to finish that game. None. Can we take him out of the Hall of Fame for a second? Can we take a pause? The discrepancy in coaching ability, in savvy ability to will your team to the end of the line, to stay cool and calm under pressure, feel, the coaching discrepancy was glaring. Kelvin Sampson kept the team in it. Houston, they were flirting with losing by 15 the whole game. I thought Houston should have been losing by 20. And the second they started to smell blood a little bit, rumbling back, couple big shots here and there, pressuring on the inbounds. Yes, Houston got some help with that over-the-back call called on Cooper Flagg after Tyrese Proctor missed the first of a one-on-one at the end of the game. It was 67-66. When that happened and they got two free throws out of it, that was a big play. At 66-67. Allowed Houston to go up 68-67. All of a sudden, Duke is down for the first time since 6-5. And it was a bad call. It's a crappy call. Official did a terrible job there. You can't call an over-the-back on a free throw on a play where Juwan Roberts, who was the Houston player boxing out Cooper Flagg, wasn't putting in the most effort you've ever seen on a box out. You can't reward that. You can't call it in that spot. But the way I look at it, similar to when the Patriots inevitably get screwed over, how many calls has Duke gotten in big spots here, there, ball whirl in their direction? Wisconsin in the national championship, and I'm a Wisconsin guy. I got no bad blood there. Wisconsin national championship 2015, Justice Winslow touching it at the end of OT. How many times has Duke the ball rolled in their favor? Which is why I cannot have a ton of sympathy for that call for that moment. Cade, one of the biggest collapses on a stage with a team that I've ever seen at a collegiate level last night in that second of the final four games.
Kept thinking to myself, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Duke's going to figure out a way. This isn't going to happen. There's no way. There's not enough time. Colin, it was a six-point ball game with 30 seconds left. It was a six-point ball game with 30 seconds left. They scored 7 points in 15 seconds.
Yep.
How's that possible? Now, I think the best way to basically visually tell how this game went, and if you guys happen to be on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at ESPN West Palm, I'm about to throw up a graphic. And Colin, you've got a monitor right here. Take a look at this. This is from ESPN.com or the ESPN app. It's the win probability chart of last night's game. You're seeing a whole graph that has the win probability hovering around the 80 to 90 mark in the entire second half in favor of Duke, with a singular line at the very end of the graph shooting up to where it eventually says Houston at 100%. At one point, I believe the chart comes down to 98.7. I believe the highest Duke ever was favored in this game. 98.7. That was probably around the 8-minute mark when they were up 14 points. Statistically, probability-wise, even just watching the dang ball game, there is no world where Houston should have won this game.
Completely stole it. Completely stole it.
Houston looked so bad in that first half. So bad. They couldn't hit. Colin, here's the one thing that drove me insane last night. And I'm very happy that Houston won, because this is the first time in my, I'd probably say about 10, 11 year history of making brackets that I have predicted a national championship matchup.
So you're happy because you get the personal attachment to your bracket.
Yes, seriously. Okay. I really had no skin in this game. I just wanted to say that I chose Florida and Houston, and they were the ones that ended up making it. That was my personal glory right there. But Houston did not have a set jump shot or a layup the entire first half. It was running floaters. It was off-ball screens, fadeaway jumpers. I did not see one man just make a normal shot.
It is incredible how they play, because they're pesky defensively. They'll crash the offensive boards. They're extremely physical. They're not afraid to get in your chest. They're experienced, but they're just, call it like we see it, not that savvy and talented offensively.
Can I at least get a clean look from somebody? That, it was basically shot put shots the entire
and
game.
They've played the whole season like that. It's incredible.
So how do Cougar fans even stand this team right now?
They're setting basketball. They'd be the best team of all time if it was 1983. They're setting basketball. It's almost like they're setting basketball back because it's just so gritty. I love it. I'm okay with it. But
I mean, I'm not complaining with 18 offensive boards. I mean, let me tell you what. That was glorious.
Duke, from the 13-20 mark in the second half on, made two field goals. A Cooper Flagg jumper with about 10 minutes to go, mid-range jumper, and then a three-point jumper by Cooper Flagg again with about 3 minutes to go. The rest were free throws scattered here and there. They had 52 points with 12:56 to go. That is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. Let's think about this for a second. This is not like the one-and-done era where it's a Calipari team that has a bunch of 18-year-olds who don't really know how to handle themselves in a tight spot, and that's why they lose, and they're just an NBA factory. That is not Duke. Duke is the perfect mix of young five-star talent and experience. Proctor's been around the block a little bit. Mason Gillis has been around the block a little bit. They're not all freshmen. That is unacceptable in a Final Four game. Two field goals in the last 13 minutes. I'm so over John Shire, and I understand he's only been here for 3 years. I understand. But with the resources, the reputation, and the team, there's four NBA starters on that team. Four. Malawak's going to be a starter. Cooper Flagg's going to be a starter. Con Knipple, I think he's great. That guy's going to be a starter. Proctor's going to be on an NBA team. Isaiah Evans is probably going to be on an NBA team. John Shire, at the end of that game, it was coaching malpractice. Sure, you got Cooper Flagg a decent look. When has Cooper Flagg ever shown an ability to go get you one to win the game? In the six close games they played all year. The Auburn game they won at home. They kept Auburn at bay basically the whole game. 7-6 point lead for about the majority of the game. Keeping them at bay. It was a very good win. They lost the third or fourth game of the year to Kentucky. They gave the ball to Cooper Flagg at the end of the game. He turned it over. Kansas game, they were down by a point to Kansas. Cooper Flagg turns it over with a minute to go, and then they give it to Con Knipple, another 18-year-old, at the end of the game, and he turns it over. That's how they finished that game. The Clemson game, they had a chance down one to win the game with seconds to go. Cooper Flagg driving right, slips, travels. Turn the ball over. Another loss. The UNC game was close in that ACC title game where they rumbled back in the second half. UNC handed them that game with that free throw, getting the offensive rebound and the free throw violation by Withers on UNC. Handed them the game. UNC would have won that game if that did not happen. That was another opportunity. And then they haven't had a close game this tournament. There's a testament to how good they were, but the second it got close, they completely crumbled. Completely.
Colin, I thought about what you had told me last week about how there's different tiers in college basketball right now. There's the number one seeds and everyone else, it has seemed like. We saw them all make the Final Four. But then, as we saw throughout this tournament, it seemed like there was Duke and the other one seeds. And as I was watching that game last night, I was right with you. I was believing you. And then the two-minute mark hit.
And Houston had a couple big swings in the game. But Duke was very good at weathering storms.
Yes.
Houston would rumble back, cut it within six. Duke would push it back to 12 or 14.
Yep.
Happened about three or four times throughout the game. And then it got into the last 10 minutes, and Duke could not find an answer. Especially inbounding the ball. When it was a three-point game, Duke's trying to inbound the ball, and they have no idea what to do. It's like they've never inbounded the ball before.
How many timeouts did they have to use on inbound plays?
And Shire would call timeouts, and they'd still have no idea what to do. Can we take John Shire, who followed Coach K, which is a tough job, but it's Duke. It's the biggest brand in college basketball. It's a private institution. You have no idea how much money they're playing with, and it's definitely a lot. He gets every big player every single year. They were great but in a late game situation, he's still figuring it out. He's still figuring it out. Totally outcoached. And Houston, the same team that escaped Purdue with an excellent inbounds play, excellent coaching to finish the game. That's how they got that game winner. Coaching matters in moments like that. Instead of, let's go get the ball to Cooper Flagg, down one. Coop, go get us one with 15 seconds to go. Go get us a basket. You couldn't draw anything up. How many NBA players are on the floor? We're just going to do a Cooper Flagg isolation? That's the play? An epic collapse. And almost, it makes me feel good because watching Duke lose is like a lot like watching Notre Dame lose in college football. You want to see the brand burn down. Like, it's great. Everybody enjoy. If you're not unless you're a Duke fan, everybody in the country enjoyed that last night. Everybody. Now, it probably hurts us from a very good final in what would have been Duke versus Florida. But seeing Duke lose, and seeing Duke lose like that, it's a pretty sweet feeling as a Duke hater myself. But I am so over the John Shire prophet. That team was so talented. Comparatively to Houston, how many NBA rotation players were on Houston? One or two? Maybe. Duke has three lottery picks. It's the same thing. And granted, Coach K is not exempt from this either. Coach K had a lot of great teams that he could not figure it out for. The Zion Williamson team being one of them. They had moments like that. But how he handled the end of that game, not trying to find a field, and to a certain extent, it's the players. Fine. But with 13 minutes and you only get two field goals, that is unacceptable. Unacceptable. It was 64-55 with 2 minutes to go. 64-55 with 2 minutes to go. I can't get over that. You said it perfectly. You almost didn't believe it was real until it hit. You're kind of in shock. And Houston was able to steal it. And we're giving Duke all the flack because Duke blew the game. Let's be fair. Duke outplayed them for about 36 minutes of that game. But you got to give Houston credit too, because talk about you have to kill a team nine times to really get them away. You know, they don't roll over and die. And that's a credit to the coaching. That's a credit. And that's their whole thing. Toughness, grit, embody it. That's what Houston is. And they're almost due. They're a good tournament team. He's a good tournament coach. He kind of brought that program. He brought it out of the American into the Big 12. They're making more money now. They get big time prospects and recruits and transfers. And they've been very good in the tournament. So if anybody is deserving, it's Kelvin Sampson in Houston. So credit to them. But Duke out-talented them. They were just better. They were a better team by a substantial margin. Better team. You didn't see that. I mean, geez, what are we watching the same game? How Duke was able to utilize talent comparatively to the hero ball that Houston was relying on and the offensive rebounding. And I understand it's a part of basketball. But I was sitting there thinking at the end of the game, I know how this is going to go. Because Duke lost the same exact way three previous times. They lost the same way to Clemson. And I watched all three of those games. They lost the same way to Kansas, and they lost the same way to Kentucky. Go look it up. Whenever it got close and it was a gotta-have-it possession, Duke could never figure it out. And I blame Shire for that. I can't put a lot of blame on Flagg. Flagg played a very good game yesterday. He was active on defense. He's an excellent rebounder. Couple big timely shots. He's excellent going to the basket. 3-for-4 from three-point range. Flagg is going to be a great pro. There's no doubt about that. But he is not a pro enough yet to give him the ball against the best defensive team in college basketball and say, go get us one. And he just missed the shot. Fair. You miss shots, you make shots. And Cooper Flagg said postgame that he'll live with that. But I blame Shire for putting the team in that position. I am over John Shire. We haven't even talked about the other game. Talk about hero ball. How about Florida? Unbelievable. They win the same way every game. And Auburn, to segue really quick, Auburn, who I think, same thing how I think about the Duke-Houston game. I think Auburn was a better team than Florida, but they got lethargic. They got sloppy in the second half. Florida was able to capitalize 12 second-half turnovers for Auburn. But I thought, especially in that first half, this is a better team. They run better offense. Florida's Walter Clayton, go save us. Walter Clayton is like 22 years old. He's experienced enough to do that. If John Shire had Walter Clayton, then we could have a conversation about getting him the ball and just saying, go win the game. You can't do that with an 18-year-old. Not in my opinion. That's not where college basketball is right now. You know? But Duke and Florida would have been a great game. Houston and Florida is going to be the real battle of destiny teams. Houston's got a little team of destiny on them, and Florida does as well. You know, the emphatic, big-time, timely shots. And I think Walter Clayton, for what college basketball is, has been the best player in the sport to this point, over Flag, the best player in this tournament. Flag does a little bit more on the floor, but in terms of what his team needs, Clayton has been unbelievable. I love him, Cade.
He puts the team on his back every single game.
It's like Shabazz Napier and Kemba Walker of those UConn years. That's the only comparison I have.
Only other player besides Larry Bird to put up 30-plus points in games
in the Elite Eight, the Final Four.
Or more of Final Four, yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's every game. He gets doubled and tripled. And the weird part about it is I'm looking through the NBA mock drafts, and I don't really concern myself with that too much, just to see where these guys land. And he's like a late first-round pick. I don't care how big he is. I don't care if you think he's going to get destroyed defensively. That guy is a top 10 player in the draft. Maybe that's just me speaking in, you know, too short-sighted about it. But really quickly here, Cade, Florida and Houston, team of destiny, which side do you lean here? What does your bracket say, by the way?
My bracket says Florida because I thought Florida was going to show me more offensively, but I have been more impressed by the defense of Houston and that offensive rebounding than I have been the overall firepower from Florida. Florida's got great offense, don't get me wrong. Walter Clayton Jr. has been unstoppable right now, and Elijah Martin will get you a bucket when he needs to, and there's a couple bigs.
Played a very good game yesterday, FAU.
Couple bigs on that team that can do a lot of stuff in the paint. But what Houston showed me last night about how scrappy they can be for 40 straight minutes, not 36, not 32, 40 whole minutes, Florida is going to need a lot.
You need to play flawlessly.
You need to play flawlessly. They're going to have to because you can't. What we've seen so far in this tournament, throughout a lot of it, honestly, is as soon as you take your foot off the gas pedal and think you have enough of a lead, the other team is going to strike you down immediately.
That's been the theme of the tournament. You're 100% right.
Michigan, Auburn.
Arkansas thought they had Texas Tech. Texas Tech is 16-4 run to close the game to get back. Texas Tech thought they had Florida. Dead to rights. And a 18-4 run brought Florida back into the game. Auburn had an 8-point lead, a 10-point lead in the early part of the second half. They weren't coasting, and the game wasn't over by any stretch, but then they collapsed, and Florida rumbled back. And then you had Duke, who had a 9-point lead with 2 minutes to go, and rumbled back in the game and stole it. That has been the theme of the tournament. You're not dead till you're dead.
And Florida and Houston have been the two teams to have really shown that they can make it happen in those last 4 to 5 minutes of the game, and now they get to play each other.
Right. Now, it's funny. Walter Clayton, he went 11 of 18 yesterday from the field. He had 34 points. 5 for 8 from three-point range, did not miss a free throw. In terms of what he offers his team, that is the most important player in this tournament. He is unbelievable because he's getting doubled, tripled. He's got the best defender on the floor on him, and if he's not, he's switching on to the second best defender on the floor. And he's at 34 on efficient shooting, and he makes every big shot you could think of. It's incredible. Going to the basket. He controls the game.
Even free throws.
He controls the game. That is going to be an awesome, awesome matchup. The defensive prowess of, you know, Sharp, Cryer, all those great Milos Uzan against Walter Clayton. That's going to be awesome. Awesome. Now, you're right. With Houston, you got to kill them 7 or 8 times to really put them down. That's the type of team you're dealing with. So Florida, who has been great late game, but has slept at the wheel a little bit, in the first half against Auburn, was bad in the early part of the second half against Texas Tech. UConn had them dead to rights, too. Towards the end of the game, they rumbled back. You can't do that against Houston. You're going to have to put together 38, 39, 40 really tough minutes because it's going to be a different type of game. Auburn got wimpy at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Lethargic. They were out of it.
Looked weak.
Looked weak. That's a good way to put it. Houston's not going to be like that. Houston is tough. Now, they're the least talented of the four teams, But there's a testament to what college basketball is really about. The NBA, the most talented team, the best team really ends up taking it usually. College basketball, it's all about who puts together the best 40 minutes because it's one and done. That Duke team has three lottery picks and four or five NBA players, including probably, I would guess, two or three all-stars in the NBA. I think Con Knipple is going to be a 15-year NBA pro. Cooper Flagg, we know how great he's going to be. Maluwak, the big guy who catches all the lobs. Where was he all game? 6 points, 21 minutes, zero rebounds. He's falling down on my big board if I'm an NBA GM. I was so disgusted with how Duke handled that second half. Had him dead to rights. And you're like, Houston, offensively, they stink. 42 points with 10 minutes to go. You're like, this team stinks. Great defensively. We know how tough they are. They always kind of rumbled back, flirted in the game. They just can't score. Their offense usually doesn't save them. And they finally needed some heroics yesterday. They got it. Kate and I got a roll on here with Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. On the flip side of things, we're going to jump around a little bit, cover a bunch of a myriad of topics on a Sunday edition of the program. Stick around for it up till 11 a.m. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Philly 88, Dice Right 52, Orlando Right HD.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall out of an accident of any kinds. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Call it like we see it. They're the best in the business for a reason. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call to take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation today. That's 1-800-747-3. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet rolling on here on ESPN 106.3. Streaming live on YouTube as well at ESPN West Palm on Facebook, Twitter/X, and YouTube. Colin Russo, Cade Chumson with you. City Place Studios, downtown West Palm Beach. A post-Final Four edition of the program in which Duke collapsed epically and Florida eked out a good second half against Auburn. Won pretty handily in the last couple minutes there. 79-73 was the final there. Florida moves on to the national championship. They're going to play Houston, who beat Duke 70-67. They were down 9 points with 2 minutes to go. They were down 6 points with 35 seconds to go. One of the big epic collapses I think the Final Four has ever seen at the hands of the Duke Blue Devils. If you're at Duke Cater, you're rejoicing. This is the day for it. But, Cade, time for us to jump around a little bit because we got a lot going on this weekend in sports, don't we? We got a lot to touch on, don't we? Huh?
Yes, sir.
So let's do it. Let's jump around a little bit. Cade, your first topic, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, so let's do this in the sense of some news headlines that have been going on. So what you basically saw over the weekend and what you might see if you were turning on your television program today. Breaking news, Duke can't complete an inbound pass, Colin.
Ridiculous.
What was that?
Ridiculous.
They had, what, a couple timeouts to
Ridiculous.
Work with?
Ridiculous.
A couple different inbound passes, both from
Zion James as the inbounder. Shire. Put in somebody with some experience in the game. Caleb Foster played pretty well in the game. Mason Gillis, put him in the game. Put somebody else in. Draw something up. I am so over John. I put that whole game on him. I can't blame the 18-year-old freshman who played a great game, Cooper Flagg. I can't blame Con Knipple who played a great game. I can't blame those guys. I can blame John Shire.
Compare that to Florida, who had to make an inbound pass happen, and they drew up a dang football play. I want to talk about some coaching.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things that I got from last night in the second half, is that the fact that Duke had it and then gave it up at the baseline. Houston even got a technical for trying to put their hands
in. I thought that killed them too because they had the two free throws and they were still down a point because of the technical. I thought that was a brutal tech.
Yeah.
It was a good call. They should have called it. And I thought that was going to really come back to haunt them. And then all of a sudden they got the over the back gift on the Cooper Flagg foul when it was 67-66.
The next inbound pass was intercepted in a quick three.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that was when it was a quick three miss and then a putback to make it a 1-point game. And then Tyrese Proctor got intentionally fouled, missed the first off the front of the rim on a one-on-one. That's when Cooper Flagg fouled, and it gave Houston a chance to take the lead on a one-on-one.
But, I mean, it wasn't like Duke was missing their free throws.
No.
They just couldn't inbound the pass in order to get to the
free throw line. If they inbounded that ball safely to Con Knipple, who's a 92% free throw shooter, and they were able to foul or something along the lines of there, game would have been finished. You play the free throw game, it's going to be a five-point game. Houston can't score as well as Duke could hit free throws. That was it. You're right. It was a crucial point of the game. And John Shire couldn't draw, a little Calipari-esque, couldn't draw anything up to save his life.
Nope. All right, Colin, what was the headline for you for this weekend? Or do you want me to keep going?
Duke, my big college basketball headline, if I'm going to make it anti-Duke, I would say along the lines of like, same old Duke collapsing in a big spot. I'm anti-Duke. So them collapsing is the big story of the weekend. But if you're going to flip it, let's talk about Houston a little bit. That's a team that has been to a ton of Final Fours, has been to the Sweet 16, has been to the Elite Eights, has flirted, and has never really gotten a big game out. That team is due. Florida is dealing with a team that is due. And that is dangerous because Auburn wasn't due. You can't say Florida's due. They were in the 2014 National Championship game. They won back-to-back 20 years ago. This is the Elite Eight, Final Four, 2021, Sweet 16. Houston is either due. That's dangerous. So my theme, my headline would be maybe Houston's due. Maybe Houston's due.
More breaking news from the weekend. Florida changes its basketball mascot from the Gators to the Giants. How many big men were in the middle for the Gators absolutely denying Jonai Broome from doing anything last night in the paint?
Yeah, weirdly enough, because that game started and they gave the ball to Jonai Broome about like four of the first five possessions and he was toying with them. And he had a great start. He was great in that first half.
Yeah.
He got so lethargic. And he wasn't demanding the ball. They were trying to win the game off these hero ball threes. And that's why Florida's dangerous, because they got three big guys. They got Alex Condon, Alex Houck, and then the Chinyelu, and then they kind of just rotated on him, and then they said everybody else beat us, not Jonai Broome.
But here's the thing. Alex Condon had 1 point, was 0 for 5 on the floor last night.
I know.
That's how deep they were last night. Shout out to Thomas. How do you pronounce that? Houck. Off the bench with 12 points and a clutch inbound and one.
And he had a great game against Texas Tech, too. He was crucial. He hit two straight threes to spark their comeback against Texas Tech. He's had a big tournament.
Duke has been the team to say that we have the biggest players on the floor. All of their freshmen are 6'9 or above.
Yeah.
But Florida was the one that showed the true depth yesterday, in my opinion, when it came to the big men on the floor.
And Houston shut down Duke's bigs, Malawak, to be specific. Let's see how they handle 2 to 3 bigs that are a little bit more stretched, can get their own basket, and they can hit a three here and there. It'd be a different spot.
Your top headlines of the weekend. South Carolina needs to watch their back against UConn today.
Hey, you were surprised by this line, weren't you?
This line on Hard Rock Bet today for the women's national championship is 6.5 in favor of UConn against the defending national champions, who also eased their way through that semifinal game, 74-57 against a really good Texas Longhorns team.
Yeah, I know.
I think UConn's good. I'm not going to say they're not. Paige Beckers has been playing out of her mind, and she was the third highest scoring player on that team yesterday in an 85-51.
South Carolina's destroying. Had a couple close games, and UConn hasn't. UConn's kind of killed everybody. And you know them. That's them in a big spot. With Gino Auriemma, who's one of the best coaches in sports, not just women's college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a UConn guy, so, I mean, give me UConn with the points.
For sure. To me, that says that all the money is on UConn right now to push that line. Do you think that line started out? I have not been checking.
I don't know what it started at. I wouldn't be surprised if it started at 4.5, 5.
That was my thinking, too. So, they shot unbelievable the other day. UConn did 55% from the field, 43.8 from three-point line.
Yeah, they beat 2-1 seeds by 14 points and 35 points.
I just don't know if they can do it 3 times in a row against them. Dawn Staley is also one of the best coaches in sports right now.
True.
You're talking about one of those coaches who was named getting flown around for the NBA for her right now. I would love to see that, by the way. Dawn Staley in the NBA.
So
I'm all for it.
So you're taking South Carolina here, +6.5?
At least +6.5. Maybe not outright, but I do not see this game being a blowout for UConn's favor.
All right. Fair enough.
Last headline for us on Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. 7 brave souls survive the blue monster so far. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, thank you. Colin, I'm referring to Trump National Doral in Miami for the LIV Golf Tournament. I was there yesterday.
How was it?
We had our Saturday tailgate program with C-Cat and Theo, and it was a great time. That course is gorgeous.
Is it? Yeah.
That course is super long, and they call it the Blue Monster for a reason. It plays super long. It was about 25 to 30 mile per hour winds, and there's water on every hole. The pins were absolutely tucked like you wouldn't believe. Friday, the average score was +2.5 over par, around a 73.5 over par. It was the second highest scoring round total in LIV Golf history.
Wow.
It is historically hard to play in Miami right now, and there are only 7 guys who are playing under par through 2 rounds right now out of a field of 54 players.
That's incredible. I mean, that's going to be, wow.
Bryson DeChambeau currently has the lead at 5 under par. He's got a 2-shot lead over Sergio Garcia, Mark Leishman. It is a stacked, loaded cast at the top of the leaderboard right now. Phil Mickelson also at 2 under. Patrick Reed is still right there.
I love a tournament like that because it's almost like great holes are tough to come by. You know what I mean?
You got to survive.
Like, yeah.
You have to literally play survival. Dustin Johnson had the solo second place spot going into the last 2 holes. Bogey 17, triples 18.
Yeah.
Completely out of the tournament now.
Right. So by keeping your head above water, not necessarily trying to save the day.
So Bryson DeChambeau, -120 on Hard Rock Bet right now. In my opinion, he would be the favorite. That course plays so long, and he's the hardest hitter in golf right now in general, that he has to just keep it in play, and he'll be able to play it right. He hit the first ball with the wind completely at his back. Again, 25 to 30 mile per hour, completely at his back, 396 yards.
Wow.
396 yards. Almost incomprehensible at this point, what he's being able to do on the course right now.
What can you hit?
On a decent, like no wind, I'm a 310, 315 guy. With the wind, I'll touch 340 once in a while, and he went 396 yesterday.
Wow. And Cade can drive. Cade's no spring chicken.
No, I'm not. In that regard. I go hard as often as I can right now, but it's insane what he's being able to do right now. So if you still want to head out there, just get your tickets online right now. They'll tee off at 11:15. All the guys will tee off at 11:15, and you betcha I'm going to be going back home tonight and watching Fox Sports and LIV Golf. But those were my headlines of the weekend for you, Colin.
Headlines of the week presented by Cade Chumsden, of course, on Hard Rock Bet. We got to blitz the book. We got to put together a couple little picks here. How about this really quickly? Before we get to break, I got to tell you about we've talked about the Memphis Grizzlies and how they're going to kill my over-unders.
You have an update for us?
Yeah, they beat Detroit yesterday, which I didn't think they were going to do. So they beat Detroit.
And they beat Miami the other day, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they did. They escaped Miami. Yeah, they won by 2 points. So the Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, who I have their over at 47.5, they have 4 games remaining. They play 4 more games, and they're 46-32. They're in the play-in. Chances are they're still going to be in the play, and they still have the head-to-head against the T-Wolves, who are also 46-32. So that's going to be a very important game. I believe that's on Tuesday, but I'll double-check right now. The thing about it that I'm interested in, it's on Thursday. They got Charlotte at Charlotte. They got Minnesota at home, at Denver, who hasn't played well, and then Dallas to finish off the year. I need them to go 2-2. Do I get it?
Charlotte and Dallas, you should get it.
Hold on. This is Memphis we're talking about. This is Memphis. Memphis stinks. Let's keep that in mind. All right, Memphis, the same team who lost 7 out of 8 games before this 2-game win streak.
I'm trying to give you hope. What are you doing?
No, I have hope, but I'm trying to keep my expectations tempered because it's Memphis. Memphis, the same team who fired their coach 9 days ago. And I don't understand why. Maybe this is why. So they could beat Detroit and Miami back-to-back. All right. I need him to win 2 games, and I go 4-0 in the NBA this year. Then I'll be a happy camper. So that's all I need. 2-2, they play at Charlotte, Minnesota, Denver, at Denver, and Dallas. The problem is Denver and Minnesota are better teams than they are, and they're both still vying for playoff position.
Yep.
Denver is at the 4 seed right now. They're a half game behind the Lakers, and they're a half game ahead of the Warriors. So that 3-6 range is very close. It's going to be a very interesting week and a half in the NBA. So which is why I'm going to get a kick out of it. This is when I start to get into the NBA. You know, it takes me a little bit. You know, the play-in tournament missed me with that. Nobody cares. And then all of a sudden, once you get to playoff implicating matchups and over-under time, that's when I get into it. Kate and I got to do a little blitz the book on the flip side of things, make some picks against the spread as we close out the program on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Trade Zach, 15 tip scissors, can it to 300 jet F stick. X has got a quick high corner. Be ready to keep attacking.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3, April the 6th, 2025, in downtown West Palm Beach. A beautiful Sunday morning with Cade Chumsland and Colin Russo, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X, as well at ESPN West Palm. Post Final Four, we got a national championship matchup tomorrow night on the men's side, and we got a national championship a little later on today on the women's side. We got a little NBA, a little MLB action. A week from now, it will be Masters Sunday, so that will be a lot of fun. It's time for Cade and I to make some picks against the spread. First, I got to tell you about Hard Rock Bet. Go download today in the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Get started now because you get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not even hit. The first bet can be a parlay, a prop, the over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. Win that first one and get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Hard Rock is awesome because I'm taking a look at the Discover page today. They got the Overs Club. They got top player props. They got popular other things that other users put together, other picks and other parlays. And you can just tap and tag along, tail it in just a few short taps. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is to get started and acclimated. They got Battle of the Bets going on. No better time to get started on Hard Rock Bet. You could be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action on it and go get started now. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Kate, so let's make five picks here, yeah? Let's do five picks, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an NBA pick today. We're going to do an MLB pick today. We're going to pick the women's national championship game against the spread. We're going to pick the men's national championship game against the spread. And then since we're already going to be in the thick of the tournament this time next week when we're back on Sunday Huddle, let's make a Masters pick as well. Yeah?
Let's do it.
So let's start on the NBA side of things. Cade, there's plenty of NBA games to choose from today. Which one kind of strike in your mind here?
Hold on. You're forgetting about something.
What am I forgetting about? Blitz the book.
Come on, man. I need a little bit of something for
me. Fair enough.
Right,
we need a little background. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Cade, all right, start us off here. Let's start in the NBA side of things.
All righty then.
Give us your pick for today. What do you got?
The premier matchup on Hard Rock Bet, as soon as you go to that NBA tab, it is the Lakers at the Thunder today at 3:30. Lakers getting 8.5 points right here. Plus 8.5 for the Lake Show when the Thunder already have the one seed wrapped up. I like those odds. Give me the Lakers plus 8.5. Don't know if they're going to win outright. Don't know how hard Thunder will play, but considering they've got that one seed locked up, I don't think they're necessarily chasing 70 at this point. Just try to stay healthy going into the postseason. Give me the LA over the Thunder, 8.5.
Yeah, they officially cannot get 70 because they got five games remaining and they're at 64. So I think you're right. They're not going to care anymore because they lost that last game. I think the Rockets are in somewhat of a similar position. They got a four-game lead on the Lakers. They don't necessarily need to win every single game the remaining of the year. And they got Golden State today. Golden State has been one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They have five straight wins. They've had a couple back-to-backs against playoff teams. Golden State's been playing very, very well. Steph Curry in April. That's just kind of his mantra. The guy's been unstoppable as of late. Give me Golden State today against Houston. In Golden State's building, 8:30 p.m. tip Eastern time. They're -5. Give me Golden State -5 against Houston today, and that is my first of the picks. All right, Cade, let's shift to the MLB side of things. Cade, your MLB pick today is?
You are more of the MLB expert than I am, Colin. Explain to me why it is +130, Braves -1.5 against the Marlins after they killed them 10-0 the other night.
Well, one thing I'll say is the Braves stink right now, so there's that. That's to be fair. And they lost yesterday, so they're 1-8.
Okay.
The Braves were the really bad start. And the Marlins actually played pretty well. Now, I got to see who's pitching for the Braves. I'll take a look right now. I got it right here.
All right. Well,
Alcantara is pitching, who's the Marlins ace.
Okay.
So that's probably why the odds favor in that, in the favor of the Miami Marlins. And Grant Holmes is pitching for the Braves, who got banged around his first game.
Got it. I still like the plus 130. I'll go Braves minus 1.5 against the Marlins.
Yeah, the Braves are desperate because you can't fall to 1-9. You're play, like, it's too early, I understand, but you're digging yourself such a hole. They were 0-7. No team in the history of Major League Baseball has ever made the postseason starting 0-7. There's been three that started 0-6. 14 total that have started 0-4 and worse. So it's few and far between when that happens. And Atlanta was a team that I thought was a National League Championship Series good. So a very bad start for them puts them in a tough spot. All right, we gotta speed this up here. I'm going to go with Boston today. Against St. Louis Cardinals, they played well, minus 120 to win outright. That will be my pick for today. Cade, Women's National Championship today. What say you?
I'm going to take South Carolina plus 6.5. Don't know if they're going to win outright, but I think that's a little too much on the spread, and I think the money is too far going in UConn's direction.
So it's Shane. Yeah, it's 7.5 now.
Oh, see what I mean? I'll take that. It's even better. Thank you so much.
UConn 7.5. Let's go, ladies. Nah. Paige Beckers, let's do this. Men's National Championship. Kate, tomorrow night, you got Florida and Houston. What say you?
My bracket said Florida from the beginning of this thing, but Houston's defense actually impressed me more last night. I'm actually going to go with the Cougars plus 1. It's a pick'em, essentially.
It is a pick'em. I'm going Florida minus 1. I like rooting for Florida. That's going to be my team there.
Yep.
All right, Kate, a Masters pick.
All right. There is a whole lot of stuff that can go into this.
This is to win.
You can go with the favorites. You got Scottie Scheffler out there. You got Rory McIlroy up there. You got Bryson DeChambeau, Ludwig Åberg. I'm going to be cheering my heart out for Rory McIlroy to complete the Grand Slam because he hasn't done it yet, and it's been since 2014 since he actually won a major. But if you're going for value, if you're going for someone who's on a little bit of a hot streak, who's kind of gone under the radar, let's talk about our TGL champion, Atlanta Drive captain, Justin Thomas, who's at plus 2,000 right now. He's had a little bit of nice history with the Masters, has never gotten himself in the mix late on Sunday, but I think he can break out today. He's playing some of his best golf right now, so I will go with Justin Thomas plus 2,000, your Masters champion.
Like it, Cade. I'm actually going to do that. I like it. Justin Thomas plus 2,000. I'll ride that with you.
Because there's a lot of the favorites all in the kind of a couple hundreds right now. I'm going to be cheering for Rory because I like that history, but plus 2,000 for Justin Thomas is pretty.
Perfect. That was Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. I'm going to take Justin Thomas as well. So I got a plus $26,000, plus 26,000, whatever you call it, parlay cooked together on Hard Rock Bet. Go try it now. We got some Women's National Championship action. We got some Men's National Championship action. We got the Masters coming up a week from today. Appreciate everybody tuning in on Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Big thanks to Cade keeping us up over the air. Colin Russo with you. We'll be back at it next week. Plus a bunch of whole week of local programming. Lots to do, lots to talk about. Stick around for it. ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.